Good afternoon, folks. Carolyn Evers greeting you with a warm welcome, and also to Charlene with a warm welcome on this chilly winter day.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. It's chilly for most of you back east right now, huh?
Well, we're like, we're at a real high point today, 16 degrees.
Oh my.
Yeah, we were 12 last night.
Oh, dear. Well, there is hope because it's coming your way. It'll be nicer, okay?
Oh, there's always hope.
Oh, yeah.
We could always have a volcano erupt and warm us up.
No, we don't kind of want that one.
Nope. So what's the temperature there?
It's been about 39.
Oh, up there in the warm stuff, huh?
Yeah, but see, we had what you've got right now. We had before that, and I thought, oh dear. I told my granddaughter, did your grandma ever tell you that she doesn't like cold? She just rolled her eyes and said, yeah, we go through this every winter, Grandma.
So what is this, a little contest on I got cold first before you?
Yes, I get cold, then you get cold, and I get warm, and then you get warm.
Well, before we start our show, Charlene, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I perceive as truly looking upon this press of human beings here in Maryland, a real historic event. For those of you who might not be aware of this, the president-elect took a train and went to New Jersey to pick up his vice president, and they are making this tour from New Jersey, making some stops and stopping in Baltimore before they go to Washington. And you might not be picking this up on your news, but at least here in the East, the throngs of people who are coming out to see him is just amazing. Every one of these stops that he has come to, the crowds are just packed. And when you consider the cold, I think it's quite remarkable. Now, in Baltimore, they have at the War Memorial a very large area that they have roped off. And at a certain time, when it filled up, they were going to stop allowing people to go in. Well, he is showing up here 4 o'clock Eastern, and believe it or not, the first person in line to come into the War Memorial got there at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh dear!
Wanted to get a front row seat. So how's that for enthusiasm?
Oh
when
dear!
When you think of the temperature here.
Temperatures.
Yes, I am just so amazed. And the news folks have been, you know, walking among the crowd, just kind of getting a sense of how these people feel. And it is just remarkable. And I was watching this today on television, and I was thinking to myself, my goodness, this is a historic event that people feel. And with so much going on in the country, there's so much hope here that somehow things are going to change and turn around, and I certainly hope so. There's an awful lot in front of the president-elect when he takes the oath of office. And so I hope that, well, several things. People will pray that the decisions and the choices will be the right ones to bring our country on the right track. And then also, there is so much going on in the international scene. I'm thinking about what's going on in Gaza. I'm thinking of course, Iran and Iraq, and the possibility of a nuclear threat from Iran. Supposedly, they're very close to a nuclear bomb. And so the scenery today in the world is very dangerous, and this gentleman who is taking the oath has a great deal on his shoulders, and so he needs your prayers, regardless of how you felt during the election. the election is over now. It is time for this gentleman to lead the country. He has a lot of choices to make, and he needs your prayers, your support. And I hope that everybody out there who is listening to my voice, either live or in the archives, takes this truly as a responsibility. We need leadership. We need your prayers. I think we need to also envision peace in the Middle East. And then there's also other hot spots in the world. And we need peace and prosperity for the poor people who are having problems even feeding themselves. And so one of the things that I would ask is give us a call today. Tell us how you feel at this moment in time. It could be something positive, or even if you are not feeling something positive, call in and share your thoughts so that we can have a dialogue going here. I think this is a momentous time in history. Don't you, Charlene?
I think so, too, and I think the thing you pointed out, and I think all of us need to be very aware of, and that is to be united.
Yes.
You know, and recognize that here's an opportunity where we can make a difference by our prayers and our mental attitude towards those that are really leading our country, plus other countries, that we are moving into a new age of cooperation and concern and love one for another. And that'll make a big difference if we project that.
I think so too, Charlene. And something that I want to add to what we're talking about, July 4th of last year, I was very interested in my radio show because I was talking about the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And I did some readings on the signers. I went to the Akashic Records to find out some of the history behind those signers and who they were previously, and since the Declaration was signed. It was very fascinating how so many of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence have been souls who have been interested in the world scene, interested in either politics or attorneys or interested in education. And, of course, we were really just starting to get into the runoffs, you know, for the election. It seemed like it was forever, like it would never end. But one of the individuals, of course, that I had done a reading from the Akashic Records was, of course, Mr. Obama. And at that particular time, it didn't seem that he had a chance. I think Mrs. Clinton, it was believed that she would be the presidential candidate. And in doing the reading, the thing that came through very clearly is that Mr. Obama was going to be the president, that he would indeed be elected. And I found that fascinating, considering back at that time, I mean, he was really a long shot. Nobody felt that he had a chance. So it seemed like he came from behind and came to the winner's circle, so to speak. Now, during that time, I had read something that Mr. Scallion had said. You might not, those out there who are listening might not be familiar with him, but he has been a gentleman for over 20 years who has been having visions and discusses what's happening in the future and in the past. He's a futurist. And he had a talk, Charlene, down at Edgar Casey's center in Virginia Beach. And what came out was that Mr. Obama was a reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. And I thought that was very fascinating that he said that. Well, I also find fascinating is the things that Mr. Obama is doing, how it is mirroring the things that Mr. Lincoln did. For instance, I don't know if you're aware of this, Charlene, but supposedly he is using the Bible that Mr. Lincoln used during his swearing in. Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't. I know Lincoln went from place to place on the train. Would stop.
Well,
every...
that too. I find that fascinating also, that there is...
Yeah, that was what he did.
Yeah, so there's little things that he is doing that is reflecting Lincoln's personality. And even before he ran for president, he had a picture of Mr. Lincoln on his office wall, which I find fascinating. And even before he ran, he was quoting things about Lincoln. Apparently, you know, from way back, he had this close sense with Mr. Lincoln. So I find all of these little things of interest. Anyway, my friends out there, give us a call. Give us your thoughts. Our number here, toll-free, is 877-876-5227. The magic number, a free call-in. Can you imagine today finding anything free? You can listen to us on your computer, pick up the telephone, and voila, you are here in person chatting with my dear Charlene and myself for either a healing or for a reading from the Akashic Records, or you might just want to call in and tell us how you feel about what I think is this historic moment of swearing in a new president. And there's going to be a lot of shows on TV about, and there is even today, about the different presidents when they were sworn in. It's a fascinating story. You know, we become hardened sometimes, Charlene, to the political scene, but you know, we are Americans, and it is time to think about how we're going to be led. And we have a caller in your name.
Hi, this is Scott from Ohio.
Hi, Scott.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering if you would be able to go to the Akashic Records and check on what language that I speak and what language that I have that I write.
Well, I'll be glad to do that, Scott. But tell me what you mean about writing. What kind of language? What are you doing with your writing that's different from the English?
This is a language of some ancient language, or whether it would be some Atlantean or something, sort of looks like hieroglyphic type writing, and as well as the language comes through that's just of some group or something. I'm not real sure. Who it is, or what language that it is. I speak it very well.
Can I ask you a question about that, Scott? When you speak it and when you write it, do you understand what the words mean?
No, I do not. Sometimes I do try, and when I write it, feel as though there I have some interpretation, but just not sure if that's the correct interpretation. So I guess that's really my next step is to learn how to decode the language or understand it.
Well, Scott, there's a couple questions here that come to my mind. Number one, have you thought about who might be, where this is coming from? In other words, you're receiving information. Have you considered or meditated on perhaps where this information is coming from, who's sending it to you?
Well, I think it could possibly have something to do with the ISIS, some information that we tried to bring through, a group of people that I work with, and they bring information from different sources, and that was just one of them that, you know, I was working with, and I just would, you know, was thinking that it's possibly in that era something to do with the with that information.
Well, Scott, we'll see what we can find out for you, but I tell you, there's a couple things that cross my mind about all of this. As you are aware, I work with people on the other side, I channel, and
yes.
People that I work with spoke different languages. You know, one of the people that has come through me that I have done a considerable amount of work has been Julius Caesar, and of course he didn't speak English. But
uh-huh.
You might say, well, how in the world could I understand the same way I've taken information from Joan of Arc? She spoke French. There were others who spoke French that I have taken information from and have written it in English. And I'd like to explain a little bit to you about that. There's, you see, even speaking, if you are receiving information, it's coming through the brain. I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes, it is.
So, our hearing, we think that we hear with our ears, but we don't really. I was quite amazed at this when I found this out. The outer ear collects the sounds, and then it actually, through a process, moves the sound that you hear to a place in the brain where it deciphers the sound and converts it into words that you understand. And so whether you're hearing something through your ear, when you're in a room and you're talking to someone, you're hearing and that sound is still coming through the ear going to the brain, it's the same thing as if you are channeling and there is a thought transfer. It's not going through your ear, but it's going directly into that center of the brain that I'm talking about. And when I work with other people on the other side, I can feel it. It comes through your head to that center where you hear. It doesn't go through the ear. And so one of the questions that I think you should have in this, Scott, is, why is this information coming through in this fashion? It should be coming through interpreted in the language that you speak, which would be English. So as I see it, Scott, there's a couple things here. That would be one of the things that I would ask. Why is it that if this is coming through that hearing center, why you're not understanding the words and it's not coming out in English? And then the second question in my mind would be, who is sending you this?
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, to me, these are two very important things. And whether we get the information from you for you or not, exactly what you're looking for, I would consider this, that the next time your group sits down and works with people on the other side, this should be, to my point of view, something foremost that you want to bring up with these entities that you're working with. That number one, you want to know who they are. Number two, you want to be able to understand it and hear it in your own language. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And the what happens is that I can speak the language clearly, just start speaking it without. I don't hear anything. You know, I just open up just immediately can start speaking just as well as I'm talking to you right now. At any given time, I don't have to do any meditation or nothing. You know, there's nothing. There's no process to it. It's just.
I understand,
you know,
dear. But the point that I'm making is, this is not of value to you if you don't understand what you're saying.
Right. Yes. Correct.
That's the whole point.
Yes, ma'am. I agree.
I mean, you're spending time bringing in information, and apparently nobody understands what it is. So how is that, I mean, you're demonstrating something, but how is that of any value to you if you don't understand it?
Right.
So regardless of what we find out for you for you today, these would be some issues that I would take up with the source that you're working with. And
okay.
So what I'm going to do, Scott, is to see what I can find out from your records. And for those who might be new to the program, I would like to mention that I send a part of my thoughts to the center of the cosmos, where the records of all the souls are held in trust by the cherubim angels. And as I say that and I send my consciousness there, I see one of the cherubim there with your record. And we'll talk another time about what those records look like. At any rate, what she is showing me is that there is a connection between you and entities from another planet. So before we go further with that, Scott, do you feel like you came from another planet to this planet?
Yes, that's, yes, definitely. Yeah, there's,
yes?
Yes, that's a constant search for understanding and information. I mean, it's just continuous search. And then another situation is that for memory recall, it's just like a lot of it is not there. You know, if when I study things and then I go back to recall it, you know, it's I don't have that recall. I know it's there. It has, you know, it's stored somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but either that storage is, you know, whatever the mechanism there.
You're not able to retrieve it.
Yes, right. And that was another part of that question was, you know, what did I agree to?
What did you get yourself into?
Right. And I think what I've studied on that for myself is that, you know, maybe that's been the ability to not get caught up in so much drama and keep worrying about it and keep bringing it up over and over, you know, so if it just goes away, you know, if you just get in a situation and then you just go on and move forward, and the recall's not there, then it's not
Well, I would agree with you. I don't think it's something that you should be anxious about. How do you feel about the Seven Sisters of Pleiades?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's always been a direction, a draw from those Seven Sisters. The Pleiades has been something that I have had some. There's some connection because I've just did a lot of study from that, just as far as looking up information and drawn to that, you know, in that star system and some work. To be done with the
Well, what they're showing me, Scott, is that is your point of origin.
Yes.
That is where you came from, the Pleiades.
Yes.
And apparently, you're relatively new to the Earth. Do you find sometimes that some of the things that we humans do here seem a little strange to you?
Yes, I kind of think that we could be on a little better path with each other, you know, with every, and I think that's what I'm here to do, is to bring forth the manifestation of heaven on earth and to, you know, to bring that process forth. And humanity, we just need to, I don't think everybody has to know the process, but I think if we raise the structure that was in place for many, many years has been a structure of not for the best of all of humanity. It's been for the best of certain groups. And it has to be unlimited abundance for everyone. And then they won't be able to tie us up. And I think that's what it's been. And I think it's now is the time for this to come forth, for this process to be implemented. Instead of attacking each other, we will support each other. You know?
Well, another word for that is cooperation. That's what you they're showing me that you came here to do. That you are a member from the Pleiadian star system. you haven't had many incarnations here, so humanity, humans do some things that you feel are pretty silly in the sense that it's almost self-defeating.
Yes.
We don't always do what is best for ourselves. And
yes.
You can relate to that, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Sort of like little children playing in a big playpen, doing the wrong things, right?
Right. Right. And it seems as though that it's always, to me, it's a very small group that orchestrates this process. And everyone, or most individuals, are asleep, and they don't know that this process is that they have anything to do with it. They think that it's always beyond their control, and it's not beyond their control. But the few have had the ability to make that appear that it is beyond their control, and for it to keep that status quo, to keep the few keep the control, and let everyone else just have to react from it.
Well, Scott, that they're showing me that that's what you came to do, and it becomes very frustrating to you when you see the mindset of human beings. But something that might be of help to you, you see, from the Pleiadians, the seven sisters, there is not the fear there that human beings have been under in the long epochs of lifetime here. This group that you're talking about, the dark that has challenged most of humanity, has used the weapons of fear and intimidation.
Yes.
And humanity has been under that for eons of time. And that's the missing link, that sometimes it's hard for you to understand why humanity acts the way they are and why they seem asleep, is because they have been under intimidation and fear for so long that there's parts of them that respond in fear when it comes time to awaken and become aware. It's one of the things that Charlene does in her work, is to clear the etheric body and the DNA in the bloodstream of fear. Fear has paralyzed humanity for so long. And so this is truly, how shall I say this? This is truly the blockage that you have to find a way to overcome. To bring your messages of cooperation and awaken up humanity is to be able to clear those large blocks of fear and intimidation that humanity has accumulated over many past lifetimes. Because what they are doing is it has made a pattern that becomes imbued in their etheric body. And this is what you have to clear any way that you can, as Charlene clears it and as I work with it also. This is the underlying stumbling block, Scott.
Yes.
Now, what you might want to do is ask your Pleiadian friends to send their messages to you, and so that you can convert them into English and you can understand it. Now, I realize that they're also sending these messages in their language to help you to awaken as to who you are.
Okay.
And they're doing it so that to help you in your memory banks. But maybe what you need to do is tell them, okay, I got the message. I'm here from the Pleiades. Give me the messages in English so I can work with them in a faster manner. Because what I see happening to you is, would you agree with this, that getting all of these messages that you don't understand is a little bit frustrating for you too, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's a little bit joyous to know that that connection is there, and that it comes through me so freely and that it's for it's definitely for good, and I know that's just, you know, that's a stepping stone, and I've stepped on that stone. I'm there, you know. So
well, it's
really
joyous because you've made the connection from your home planet, but
yeah.
it's what I'm talking about is not being able to understand what you are receiving takes up your time in trying to figure it out. Wouldn't it be a lot easier for you just to know right away what it means?
Yes, it would.
So that's the point that I'm making. And now that you know where you're from and what you're supposed to be doing with it, why not ask them to send it in a form that you understand what they're telling you so that you can act upon it? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, I agree. I very much appreciate that they start doing that for me.
Scott, you came with a large mission, and
yes.
You have people around you who are helping you. This group that you're working with, you know,
yes.
You've gathered them together, and they are helping you.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's a wonderful thing. You've made those connections. Now, what do you see as your next step?
What I see is that what has been put in place on the earth is what you're talking about of clearing the fear out of the bodies. That is the proper step, but I work with healing and doing such things. I've done that for quite a while, but when I work with individuals, then that means I only touch, you know, in my lifetime I could only touch X number of people. So what I see is that this process has to take place globally, okay? And for that to take place, then what we have to look at is what was placed, what are we trying to clear out of the DNA, what are we trying to change, transmute, and as well as the blood system, as well as the parts of the body. So what I see is that we just make that we, the entire grid system, the grids and the matrices that they use, that becomes obsolete. That's no longer the way that the program's operated. Okay, so what we do is we do it for all of humanity, and we change the entire program. Okay, we do away with that. We're going into fields, and it becomes exponentially achieved or instantaneously done. Instead of it being linear, everything's a linear process, we're going to change it for all of humanity. Then that way, our healing work, everyone will move up this ascension process together rather than just a few people at a time that we're close to and that we access on a daily basis. So that's how I see this. This is a big process, but I think it's very achievable because that's the information that they have tried to keep us from accessing. They did not want us to access that because they knew that we had the ability to change the grids and the matrices, and they did not ever want us to know that. And
well, how do you propose to accomplish this, Scott?
Well, I'm not exactly sure on that process, but I've doused their grids and their matrices. I've been dousing them for a few years. They are changed. They are not as they were. This process is taking place now. Their lines of light are not as they were before. So I'm not exactly sure on how this will be manifested on the earth, but the process is bringing into oneness that we are made of the same material, the same thing that the Creator, the Mother, Father, God, the Creator is made of. We are that. We are that, and everyone that's on the earth is made of that same. We're not separated from it. We are made of that process. So,
well, I would agree with everything that you're saying, Scott, except there's a few pieces here that need to be tied up, so to speak, connected.
Okay.
And I think it starts here with the language.
Okay.
I would work on discussing with those, however you communicate with them, to send it in a language that you can understand, you know your heritage, and to give directions in English so you understand how to progress along this path. I
yes.
see this as the point of blockage, in the sense that how can you make this next step if they're not giving you the directions in a manner that you can understand what's being said?
Right.
And maybe what it was is you needed to call here and have these thoughts confirmed with you, because you really did feel that you came from the Pleiades. You really did feel that you have a mission. You really
yes.
did sense what all of this was about. And now that you've become aware, would it make sense to take that as the next step?
Yes. Yes, definitely. That is a...
Well, I tell you what, you got a little bit of homework.
Okay.
Go back and, you know, tell them you want it in this language. For certain, they can send it to you in English.
Right.
So they can be more clear as to the next step that you're to take. And then call us back and let us know how it's working out for you.
Okay. Did I know I asked this question, but my memory recall, is there a reason, or is there a way that I can access?
Are you talking about this lifetime or future
yes,
or past
yes,
lifetime?
This lifetime right now that I'm doing when I do my studies, and then I turn around to recall what I've studied, and then it's
okay,
not
Scott, what I'm going to do is turn you over to Charlene. Charlene,
okay.
does he need to have some electrical components in his brain connected?
Yeah.
I think
that's
what it is, Scott. I'm going to turn you over
okay.
to Charlene, dear.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie.
Okay.
All the things that you're talking about is really correct. But you need to be able to have the interpretation
yes,
so
ma'am.
That you can be of better service. And you've got to tell them that. I can't serve in the way that I've sent to serve until I can have the interpretation. Now I choose to have the interpretation now.
Yes.
You just
okay.
tell them that you choose to have it now. That you needed that interpretation coming through. Because that's what I have to do, is just turn around and say, okay, now give me the interpretation.
Okay.
Okay, so ask
yes,
for
ma'am.
It. Okay, now let's go in, because you've got two connections here, right?
Yes.
You got that connection plus in, and you're not getting it transmitted. And then the recall, you said, is difficult.
Yes.
For you to recall what you just learned. That's
yes,
because
ma'am.
We're not making you connected. So let's go in and do that right now, okay? Just
okay,
me.
Yes.
It's amazing how these things work, isn't it, Scott?
Yes, it's very amazing. And we're in a time now to bring this forward. This is the greatest, and I've said this so many times, we are on this earth plane right now at the greatest time that there has ever been an opportunity for this to take place since the Earth's existence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's awesome. No. So this is just this is an awesome lifetime. You know, this just it's a joy. It's fantastic. You know, and
it is a joy. It is fantastic. And one of the things that I see happening is people are so into fear now because of what's happening politically and economically that they're missing some of that message.
Yes. Yes. And that process that's taking place globally. It's kind of a twofold process. One fold is that the false faces are actually falling to the wayside. That's being taken care of from a hierarchy, from a higher order. The false faces are no longer allowed to partake and perpetuate what they have done. And then the other side is that this is going to settle out, and everyone will find out that it wasn't true. It was just mirrors. The reality of lack, and that's how the stock market, that's how the money system works, is that there's a lack of, and then do you want some of it, so you pay this high price, and then when there's less of it, you pay a higher price. Well, there's no such thing as a lack of anything. Everything is fully abundant for everyone. Everyone has access to the entire universe, and it's all theirs. So they need to know that that is there for them to access and bring forth.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, Scott, you might be interested in joining my Yahoo group. I've just begun a Yahoo group, and I send out messages to people. And then, you know, there's conversation back and forth. And if you're interested, you can go to my website, carolynevers.com, and on the very bottom, you just fill in your email address, and you can become a member that way.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's a good way for us to communicate with one another.
Yes, and the fear process, if people understand what television and the media, their job is to sensationalize something that's not really even worth talking about, but for them to have a job, that's what they're taught to do in their school system. So the things that they see on TV are made out sensationalized. They're not really, nothing that you see is what's the real truth. There's nothing out there.
It's called an illusion.
Yes. And the two ladies that are on the line right now are the ones that are there with the truth. There's no illusion here. It's all truth, and it's for humanity. It's for everyone. So,
and the things that you've been talking about are really important because you are going to be writing them, right? So the interpretation, now when you're doing it, say to yourself first, my body, spirit, and soul are now grounded to my life's path. Okay? Now, you state that.
My body and spirit, soul is grounded to my life path?
Yeah, because you're here on this earth, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
So you have a mission here on this earth. What's happening is you're not staying connected. Okay?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
And so I went in, and God put in there that your body, spirit, and soul are now connected, but he also said that in your situation, you have to keep doing it. Okay? Periodically. Just go in and say, you know, and then he also did the crossing over with the right and left brain so that your recall at will. In other words, you don't want to recall absolutely everything.
Right.
But there are things that you choose to recall, especially on the dimension that you're talking about, so that you can write it, interpret it, and put it down. Is that correct?
That is spot on.
Yeah, because see, right now you're trying to work within the physical arena, so to speak, on this earth, and that's what you're really wanting to do. So you've got to keep putting yourself there so that you're not okay.
Yes.
Because we are changing the grid system. We are changing the vibrational frequency of the earth. That's why in the work that I'm doing right now, used to be just go in and change goals that people have, but not anymore. He's having me change their past life. He's having me change their DNA, which is their ancestral line. And not only that, but it's been in the last maybe year or two that I also have to go in and change your ancestors' past life DNA, which is interesting. Because what we're doing was we're pulling the vibrational frequency of which we've been operating in, and it's being changed. So into a different vibrational frequency. So they have here they have here information that they want you to put out. So like Carolyn would say, you just go in and say, hey, you know, I can't put this down unless you interpret it, because right now I'm on this earthly plane.
Yes.
And so you just tell them that you want it now on this earthly plane, because that's your assignment, and you choose to now have the interpretation. Like Carolyn,
while we're talking about this, Scott, I would like to add to something that Charlene has said. You know, when you're working in the higher energies, like I work in the higher energies, like you're working in the higher energies, like I said, I send a part of my mind to the center of the cosmos. I do a lot of work that is in higher dimensions than where my physical body is, and this is what you're doing. You're finding yourself mentally, your consciousness is in higher realms, and this is, you've got to ground yourself constantly. I must, because you find out that you're not, your consciousness isn't always in your body.
Right.
And this is what Charlene is saying, to make that statement so that you ground yourself. And this would be of great assistance to you in your work if you make sure that you're grounded. Now, another thing that you can do, Scott, is to work with straightening out the Hara lines. Do you understand what they are?
There's been several different...
Well, you know, that... Oh, God just straightened it out for him. But you
needs to know this, Charlene.
Right.
God might have done it now, but he's going to have to do it in the future.
And you're going to have to keep periodically getting yourself grounded. That's why he's telling you.
Well, I'm asking Scott, are you familiar with the Hara line and how it works?
I'm thinking of another name.
H-A-R-A.
Right. Yes, I have read some on the Hara line. I was thinking of another set of lines that may be the similar to that. Several different lines and grid systems. But I work with sacred geometry and the understanding of sacred geometry and assemblage points that where the light fibers assemble, which is behind the shoulder blade, basically the left shoulder blade, and arms reach back, and they assemble there for that information to come through. And then as that assemblage point, as you move it up, then you move up with higher information or dimensions, as well as you move it down. You can move down into the animal kingdom or whatever, but that's not the direction we're choosing to go. Some of the shamans that are shapeshifters, that's the process of shapeshifting, is moving that assemblage point down to the lines of light that are in the animal kingdom. So those types of things I have some understanding of, but I can look up the Hara lines in particular and make sure that keeping them straight, so the process of keeping them in alignment is what do you recommend?
Well, you know how to put your consciousness someplace, don't you?
Yes.
Well, if you look at the Hara, well, it's also known as the Hara or where the solar plexus is, and you just put your consciousness in there, you might see a line that goes from there up to a source in the center of the cosmos, and it also has a line that goes down to the core of the Earth.
Yes.
Can you find that?
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Yeah,
okay,
I'm
well, what you do is you just make certain that line is straight, and if it looks crooked, you just intend to straighten it, because sometimes when you receive information, if you get information too fast, as you're receiving it, it might knock that line a little bit out of whack, so it's not straight.
Okay.
So just look there occasionally.
Okay.
And see if it's straight. If it's not, you just intend that it be straight. Now, that is your line that is running, like I said, to the center of the cosmos, down to the core of the Earth. Then in the Hara, there is another line that runs horizontally. And those two lines cross over one another. Can you see that?
Yes.
Well, you make sure that at that point where it's where they cross over one another, that that's straight also. So you're in alignment with source in the center of the cosmos and to the core of the Earth.
Okay, and the horizontal lines, where do they go?
Well, it's just a place where it runs through your body. You just want to make sure that that connection, it's almost like a cross.
Yes.
That is all connected. I never checked to see how far it went out. Why don't you look and tell me?
I didn't see it going very far as soon as you had spoken that, but I did get a question to ask you, was that is there a process that this would, you take these two lines and you move them to the heart center, you raise them to the heart consciousness instead of the solar plexus. That's moving them up into the love of the Creator, into the heart center.
I haven't done that because that's not where the Hara is.
Okay.
I mean, you can decide it's ask your higher consciousness if you should be doing that. I think there's other things that you do with the heart center that there's other things that you can do with the heart center that increases the love so that it has an imprint over the entire body. My concept here is you don't have to move the higher line there.
Okay.
I'm more inclined to say you leave the higher line there because that is the balance point of the body, almost like the
yes.
fulcrum.
Yes. Yes,
and I'm not convinced
yes.
that you want to move that. I'm more convinced that what you want to do is expand the heart center, which is the human heart, the heart chakra, and the heart mind. I think what you do is you expand that so that it takes over the entire physical. And
okay.
by the way, if there's people out there who want to read the protocol on the Hara and the Hara line, it is on one of my websites, MetatronMinutes.com, under protocol. So we have several protocols there that people can go to and use. And that's all written out.
Yes, I can find that.
Uh-huh. Well, this has been an interesting visit, Scott. Call
yes,
us back. Let us know how it's going.
I will do that, and I appreciate everything that you have done for me as well as you've done for humanity. And you ladies stay right there and keep on doing it. And I send blessings to both of you.
Thank you, Scott. You too.
Thank you. Namaste. Bye for now.
Namaste. Well, Charlene, that was a very interesting call.
Very knowledgeable.
Well, somebody out there who is come to work and assist working in planetary service and you know there's so many individuals who are and we really need that assistance now. Oh, I meant to ask Scott a question and we kind of got on to other things. And we have another caller and your name please?
My name is John from Massachusetts.
Hi, John.
Hi.
What can we do for you, dear?
I'm sorry?
What can we do for you?
Oh, I called in a couple weeks ago, and you gave me some help with some financial things, but I wanted to get an Akashic reading, and it was at the end of the program, and you said to call back.
Oh, yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah, when we get to the last minute, there isn't too much we can do.
Right.
So what were you interested in, John?
Well, I don't know. I guess just direction. I mean, just the state of affairs that's happening in the world today. It's just crazy. I'm very much into the scriptures. I can see the way things are going relative to Daniel and Revelation. And I guess it's is there any past history relative to what I should be doing and where I am
now? Is there any what? What was that word you said? Any what that was relative?
Past. Path.
Path?
Path.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
path.
When I go to the Akashic Records, I have to ask a question. And
okay.
Is your question really, what was your purpose for coming into this incarnation? What's your mission? Is
yes.
that really your question?
Yes, it is.
So you weren't here on a vacation, huh?
There's so much that it's like hard to even narrow it down to that point, but that would be generally exactly what I'd like to know.
Well, you know, a lot of times we find our path through emotions and inclinations. What are you doing now that you love and have a passion about?
Studying the scriptures. That's really my passion. My understanding that there's only one thing in this universe, and it's God. And, I mean, there's so many people that don't understand where we are and what's going on in the world. And, I mean, it's kind of silly to think that you could, you know, change the world talking to all those people, because most people don't even have a clue.
I would agree with you that one of the reasons that we are here, and it's an important reason, is to understand our relationship to the Creator. But now
yes.
I have a question for you, John, and it's really not a trick question whatsoever.
Okay.
You're reading the scripture, and I'm certainly not critical of that at all, and I don't mean that in any way by my question, but do you think perhaps that there is more knowledge about God that is not found in the scripture?
Absolutely. 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 There's books that haven't been included in the Bible. You know, I've
mm-hmm.
studied Tibetan yoga. I've, you know, read A Course in Miracles. I mean, I understand that. And I'm using the Bible as a base reference, I suppose you could say, as a foundational reference for everything else. But there's so much more going on that I do agree.
Well, that's really where I was coming from this point of view, is that I don't believe that the Word of God and the experience and understanding of God is limited to what happened 2,000 years ago. I think that God is constantly revealing themselves to us, and that is all I meant, that I think we must be also aware and open to the fact that truth comes to us in many sources.
Yes.
You know,
I
Bible,
agree 100%, yeah.
Good. I just want to make sure we were on the same page.
Oh, yes. I see the whole cosmos, you know. I see things around me, things are revealed. You know, I talk to the trees, I talk to the grass. I mean, yeah, it's like everything. It's all there.
Well, I love it. Are they answering you, John?
I'm sorry?
Are they answering you?
Yes, they are.
I love
yep.
it.
Yep, they're giving me peace, and they're saying, we're taking care of our business here, and you just take care of yours.
I was on a retreat with someone where we worked with our consciousness and went out and connected with the consciousness, just like you're saying, from trees, the sky, the grass. And it really is interesting once you do that, become aware of the information that you can receive. It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
And also,
I've had some just incredible things happening, like buses disappearing and people disappearing, and I don't know if that's a dimension shift or what, but it's, you know, it's just a normal course of activities that happens to me. It's crazy. I know.
Let's take one question at a time.
Okay, I just want to know, you know, basically, you know, like you said, well, you know, do I have a mission here? Why, you know, what is my purpose?
We all have a mission.
Yes.
We all have a mission. If you take one of the saints, well, like St. Teresa, for instance, who
yes.
did little things, who learned great secrets about the Creator by doing little things perfectly, that was her mission.
Okay.
So, you know, we all have a mission. What do you do for a living? I'm kind of curious.
Well, I'm a musician, and I teach.
Ah.
I teach private guitar lessons and bass lessons. I write music. I'm involved with several different bands right now. So that's why I do. I'm a musician.
Now, do you hear sounds beyond human hearing?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I figured you would.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny thing that happened. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine who studies the scripture, asked me if I would write the music to the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. And it
cool.
was amazing. Yeah.